on Thursdays. And finally, NASCAR Race Day specials with the cheapest Busch bottles. Hot Shots in Webster Groves and Arnold, where you can catch all the games all the time.
This is Charlie Marlowe, and I want to introduce you to the Schnucks High School Athlete of the Week, presented by 590 The Fan and All-Star Trophy. Vote on your favorite high school athletes of the week on 590thefan.com starting Monday through Thursday of the week. The following Monday, the winner will be announced, and the winning athlete's featured story will be revealed. Voting will then start over again Monday through Thursday throughout the spring season, so make sure you vote early and often for your favorite Schnucks High School Athlete of the Week on 590thefan.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. In the past, it's been tough for business owners and independent contractors to get a home loan. Lenders have denied them because they write off too much of their income. That's crazy. With our bank statement mortgage, we no longer need tax returns, pay stubs, K-1s, or 1099s. Your deposits into your bank account are now your income. Write off as much as you like and still qualify for a refinance or the home of your dreams at thebankstatementmortgage.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, Missouri and Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee.
With summer right around the corner, now is the time to start thinking about your summer camp t-shirt orders. Winning Streak is your go-to source for all of your summer camp needs. Here are just a few reasons why you should choose Winning Streak. Fast turnaround, a full-time art staff to make sure your designs look great, and quality printing done on site in Dupo, Illinois. Contact Winning Streak for all your summer camp shirt needs. Visit winning-streak.com to learn more, or call 888-570-6194 and be sure to ask them about their special camp program. Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex, now with a new DePere location. Stop in with coworkers or clients Monday through Friday from 11 to 4 and enjoy a delicious lunch combo. Choose from 14 flavor-filled entrees, all served with rice, refried beans, and a soda. Or order the tableside guacamole and enjoy the show as your server makes fresh guacamole from scratch just for you. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, 1235 Washington Avenue downtown or 12796 Manchester, just west of 270. Rosalita's Cantina, Tex-Mex. Done right. PT's Country Rock Cabaret, where the benefits are pretty obvious. It's where beer and sporting events go hand in hand with beautiful women. If you get off work during that crossing of the bridge traffic mess, then come into PT's and relax, de-stress, and eat dinner, because a fantastic steak and fries meal is only $7.99. Let those other guys sit in traffic while you enjoy exotic dancers, sports on big screen TVs, and an ice cold beverage. Visit the best strip club in the St. Louis area, and don't forget, you can catch every pay-per-view UFC fight with the confidence you'll be a winner, one way or the other. PT's Country Rock Cabaret is located just minutes from downtown St. Louis, so if that convention or expo is bringing you down, it's time to rise and smile at PT's Country Rock Cabaret in Sauget, next to Pop's Concert Venue. Free admission before 6 p.m., only $6 before 8 p.m., and never more than $12 after 8 p.m. Don't sit at home watching the game. Be in the game at PT's Country Rock Cabaret.
Scott Sherman is in the house. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Frank.
You ready to help people?
Absolutely.
All right, we already have a call or two. We have lines open. Let me give you folks the numbers. And if I were you, I'd call right now. I have one bit of business to do, and that won't take long. And then when that's over, we're going to go right to the phones. And Scott Sherman, attorney at law, is here to help you. We'll do his official introduction. After I remind you about Gateway Lock and Security, I've never owned a business, like never had a building, an office, a warehouse. I never had a real business, what they call like a brick and mortar storefront. I do have a house. I do have still family, even though there are two of us there now. Often somebody else is at the house, and I would hate for anything to happen to me or to my wife or to anybody in that house. I would hate to find that somebody got in there and took some things that probably meant a lot more to her than to me. There's not a lot there that I'm that attached to. There are a few personal things, but not a lot. But there are people with some very valuable things, and maybe it's business inventory, maybe it's personal stuff, and once somebody gets it, damages it, or hurts somebody and gets away with it and they're gone, I think after, you know, an initial period of 48 to 72 hours goes by, the chances of catching that person diminish greatly. So what if you could keep those people out of your business? Keep those people out of your house. You know, one of the tough things I think about having a business is I don't think any business has ever hired people, and everybody they ever hired continues to work for them for the entire, till they die or until as long as the business is around. People get fired. And some people get fired and they deal with it and they realize that maybe they deserve to be fired. They learn from it and move on. Other people get fired and now they're on a mission. They're holding a grudge. They're bent out of shape over it. So they're going to come teach somebody a lesson. It happens. They want to come back to that business and mess things up. What if you could prevent that? What if Gateway Lock and Security could prevent that from happening? And they don't do it by putting an armed guard in front of the place. They do it with ultra-high-definition, commercial-grade security cameras. Only the dumbest of dumb people would try to break in, enter a place if they looked up and saw those cameras. And the smartest of burglars know the difference, or bad guys, know the difference between dummy fake cameras and real cameras that were installed by somebody like Gateway Lock and Security. And I say somebody like them. I don't know anybody else who does this the way they do it. You can try to do it yourself, and try is an important word there, because there's a very good chance you'll fail. You'll think you did it right until you go to retrieve video, and it's not there. Or you go to check on your place, and you can't. You thought you'd be able to just take your phone, pull it up. Now, let's see how the business is doing. Let's see if Bob is in his office like he should be, or if he's at the register, or if he's taking another long break. Let's see this or that. You can't because it's not working. Why don't you just do it right? It's like so many other things. Let somebody do it who knows what they're doing. This is what they do. Gateway Lock and Security. They're in the security business. They're not in the alarm business or the security guard business. They're in the business of preventing bad things from happening, but then they're also in the business of catching the people who shouldn't have done what they did if the cameras didn't stop them. Cameras didn't stop them, they'll sure give you a crystal clear picture of who did it. Now, there's more to Gateway Lock and Security than just cameras. There's proximity cards and keyless entry. And these anti-kick devices that you put in that are so simple but so effective where nobody can kick a door in. They do commercial door locks and door closers and master key systems, all kinds of things. My suggestion would be go to their website, gatewaylockandsecurity.com. That's actually the best thing you can do, and you'll learn a lot more there than you'll learn from listening to me for a minute or two. They do a lot of things, but all the things they do are security related. So check them out, and then you decide if you want your brother-in-law to do it, are you going to try to do this yourself? Smart businesses, decent-sized businesses, would never settle for that. They're going to want it done right. Gateway Lock and Security. GatewayLockandSecurity.com. .com.
On this side of the
.com.
Law. On that side of the law.
We're going to help some people now. We got lines open, and we shouldn't have lines open. Don't tell me that on this, the 3rd of May, nobody out there needs some legal questions answered, especially when you can get it done for free. So I'm going to give these numbers again, and if we don't have a lot of callers, we'll just end this segment and move on and talk about some other things. Don't put this off. Call right now, because you can get in if you call now. Let's talk to Scott Sherman. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590. If that line is busy, and this is true throughout the rest of this hour, if it's busy, then you jump over and try this number, 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Let's say hello once again to the official introduction, Scott Sherman, everybody. everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, Scott. So you're going solo this Saturday on the yard sale. Dan's not going to be around to co-host with you.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Oh, I don't know. I'll do the yard sale.
Yeah, what are we going to do today without him? Oh, yeah, we'll just do the show like we always do. Johnny Lomax.
We will miss him, but it will be fun.
All right. Well, we do have lines open, and we shouldn't have, but we do. But John's waiting. He's been waiting. John, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello?
John. John,
hi,
there?
Scott. How are you?
Good, John. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I appreciate the show, and enjoy your service, Scott. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay. What do you got for Scott?
Scott, I got a question about a really bad car accident I was in last February, about 15 months ago. I was stuck on the highway behind another accident, and because of this accident, the highway was just covered with a thick blanket of smoke. So I was just sitting there, and a rescue vehicle on the way to this accident I was stuck behind slammed right into me, and it probably should have killed me. I was in a little Jeep Wrangler. The engine ended up in the front passenger compartment.
Whoa.
Yeah, the spare tire ended up smashed up right against the back of my front, my driver's seat. I was knocked unconscious from it and didn't wake up until the fire department was throwing one of those white blankets over me like they used to cover the dead bodies in the side of the road.
Whoa.
So, anyway, I got taken. Anyway. Sorry. I was taken to the hospital. I was in the hospital for almost a week with some really bad injuries, had a couple of pelvic fractures, broke two vertebrae in my neck that probably should have left me a quadriplegic, had a traumatic brain injury, a lot of other injuries.
John, before you ask Scott your question, I got to tell you something. The engine ended up in the front seat of the car. You should be dead.
It was in the front passenger seat. That's where it ended up. I was
I don't
alone
care.
In the car.
Yeah. Yeah. You're lucky to be able to talk to us. I think.
I am. I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right. So, what's your question for Scott?
Okay. Well, Scott, I saw 8 different medical providers over the course of recovering from this accident. There's obviously litigation pending. And last week, my attorney calls me and leaves me a message saying that the case is nearing settlement, but he couldn't get me as much money as he thought he could because I just didn't see enough doctors from this, which sounds like a really lame excuse. I wanted to get your opinion on that. And secondly, what do I do if I just don't like the settlement I'm being offered, Scott? I wanted to know what my options are.
That is a great question, Scott.
I'll take the second first. You are in charge of the decision-making on this. Uh-huh. You absolutely have the right to not accept any offer, even if it's recommended by your lawyers. Your then option would be, and you said litigation, so I'm taking it something's on file.
Yes.
Is this a Missouri or an Illinois thing?
Missouri.
Okay. So even if these lawyers say, you know what, John, take it or leave it, and we're going to bail out of here if you don't accept this. Okay, you do what you got to do, but you're the ultimate decision maker on whether or not a case settles or not.
Okay.
That's two. The first one is, you know, that's not the conversation that I have with my clients. I don't know that your lawyers aren't the best. They might be the best lawyers in the world. Don't tell me who they are. I'm going to assume for the right now that statement was inartful. How many doctors you have has nothing to do with the value of a case. Cases are based, I always tell clients this, I say, you know, what's it worth? People say, oh, 3 times your medical bills, and like, well, if that was the case, people would never stop going to the doctor, and then they just get the calculator out. That doesn't work like that. It's based on a bunch of factors. It's like making a salad or a soup or something. You take the impact, which in yours is horrific, the injuries, which in your case is horrific, and the liability, which in your case is pretty damn clear. I don't know what the defense argument is that whether or not the smoke or whether the emergency vehicle had some mitigating factor, but on a rear-end collision, it's pretty clear that it's the trailing driver. The medical tension, which to you is, you know, catastrophic, the injuries. I can't believe you even talk this well. You sound great, actually. Traumatic brain injury, all the rest. And then the collectability aspect. You got hit by the vehicle that belongs to some organization, whether it's a fire department or some private ambulance service or some other entity like a fire district. So there's not unlimited money, but there's a huge amount of money. You have a huge amount of damages, and there's a huge amount of bills involved. So the number of doctors seems like not only the least important, but irrelevant. So I'm not going to ask you how much it is, and I don't want you to tell us. But
okay,
I would
stop right there, Scott. Stop right there, because I was going to say there's one important piece of information we're missing here. John, did he give you any idea what it was they were asking for and what it was they were going to offer?
No, he didn't. He just said that the settlement wasn't as big as he thought it should have been.
Okay, right there, I have a little bit of a problem with that, because let's say in his mind it should have been $10 million, but they're only going to give $3 million. That's a lot of money, and that's probably fine. So we don't know what it is that he considers. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. What they should have paid versus what they're going to pay. So that's a missing piece of this that I think is really important. And here's the other thing. I'm not an attorney, but I've been in a couple of wrecks. In fact, I'm in the middle of some stuff now with a wreck I had about a year and a half ago. And I was hit by a guy on a motorcycle who was doing, they say, about 100 miles an hour. Now, what Scott said about doctors that you see, this is the biggest piece of BS I've ever heard an attorney spit out, because it is irrelevant. Let's say, for example, for the rest of your life, when you're in traffic and you hear an emergency vehicle, you freak out because you cannot help but go back to that day when you got hit so hard. So you don't see 20 doctors because of that. It's just something that kind of haunts you for the rest of your life. I'm with Scott. I see this guy should move on, and somebody else should pick this up and take over.
Well, unless
he can give you the numbers, and if the numbers in his mind that are not enough are fine with you, like $3 million bucks, then okay, that's another matter. I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
No, and I want to, and in person, here's what I think you should do. This is a communication problem at this stage. I don't think it's a competency problem by the lawyer. Ask for a meeting in person and say, hey, I don't understand what that meant, but why don't we have a meeting? I'll come to the office. We'll have a confidential conversation. Put all the numbers out on the table. We'll figure out what you're talking about, what my net would be. And then at that point, either you can accept it, or you can keep going with the litigation. Or if you think there's something that could be done more, maybe ask the lawyer, hey, do you think mediation would be a good idea, where you have a retired judge or some other person who's an experienced lawyer sit who's neutral and goes between the two parties and tells them, here's what's strong about your case, here's what's weak about your case, here's what the numbers are, and let's see if we can get this done. That's voluntary, but it's very effective. So first thing is, I would try to go back to the lawyer. I wouldn't try. I would go back to the lawyer and I'd say, can I come to the office so we can sit and talk about this? It's a very important. First of all, it's not only an important case, it's the most important case you will ever have.
Yes,
it requires, and I think demands, a sit-down. Just like I'm sure they were very excited about coming either to the hospital or coming to see you or having you come there when the case first started. I think that this is something that needs a face-to-face conversation between lawyer and client. That'd be
John, can I ask you a question? Do you have still any sort of permanent disabilities or any limitations physically because of this accident?
Not really, but I was told I might need a hip replacement in 10 years, and I think from that brain injury,
that's the other reason that the doctors you've seen up to now don't matter. These football players that get concussions seem fine, but years later, because of that, horrible things can happen. Yeah. You can have stuff pop up years later. Your body has been compromised seriously, and things can happen to you down the road that are much worse than they would have been had you not been in this accident. So nobody's a fortune teller here, but This is not the end of your suffering, probably, unfortunately. So, do you know Scott's email address?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Law Office of ScottSherman.com, I think.
He was so close. He was
pretty
doing
good.
So well.
That's pretty good for a brain injury again.
Yeah, not bad at all. Tell him, Scott.
Law Office of ScottSherman at gmail.com. Now, this just happened in February of 2017.
That's correct. It was about 15 months ago.
And they already filed suit, and it's going through discovery and all. Have you had your deposition taken?
No.
Okay. Go back to your guys and say, I don't understand exactly all the procedures here, and I want a meeting in person. I hate for people to switch horses or even thinking about switching horses, because you might have the best lawyers in the United States. you might be entitled to and very close to the best settlement that anybody could get. But right now, you don't believe that because for some reason there's a communication flow. Now, if it turns out that their communication skills are horse manure and their horse manure, then it's time to reflect on maybe moving that horse. But right now, you not only need, but you deserve a face-to-face conversation with your current set of attorneys, especially if you haven't had your deposition taken. I got tons of cases that I have currently, and I don't know how many cases that I filed, and almost never after we file suit in a non-wrongful death case do the defense lawyers want to talk money until discovery is completed. That's how they get paid, having you in a room and asking you a bunch of questions. So this might be the case, but you have to have a conversation with your group of attorneys. You just do.
Okay. And if I wanted to move on to another law firm, Scott, is that too late in the game to do
No,
this?
Absolutely not. That's part two. But okay. Right now, I think it's premature. There are lawyers in law firms that would like to poach that case, and they are scumbags. And I don't do that, and I don't think it's fair. Let your current group of lawyers look you in the eye and explain everything about this case and what you're looking at to you, and then you reflect on that and decide if you want to take what they're doing or keep going with them. But that's step one before you even think about moving away. I just am uncomfortable telling you as a sideline guy to you know, change your team.
My only other suggestion, John, when you do meet with them, record it.
Okay.
Record it. You've got a phone that probably has a recorder on it, and there's no way they're going to object to that. If they object to that, something's wrong. Okay. Just say, if you don't mind, I'd like to record this because it's easier than taking notes, and I don't want to miss anything or forget anything. That's it. Okay. And then you have that to keep. And in case you do have to go find somebody else, you can play them what was said in that meeting and what they had told you. So that's my suggestion. Scott, right. do you disagree?
And John, the next time you're almost killed, please call me. First. I mean,
okay, I will.
Okay. All right, John, thanks for listening. Good luck with this, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. All right, caller number two is also named John. It's John Twinspin. John, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Mr. Sherman, how are you?
Oh, hi, John. How are you?
Good. I had a quick question, and hopefully it'll go quick. I'm curious, in a professional setting, what has to be done to prove slander or defamation of character?
What a good question. Frank, do you want to...
slander is slander. If I remember right, is spoken and libel is printed.
That's correct. That's ding.
So what has to be done to prove? What was your question? Slander. What has to be done? What
to prove that? If you know someone's made an inflammatory untrue statement that could damage your reputation, potentially damage. What has to be done to be able to prove that or to move forward?
The first thing that has to be done is you have to prove they said it. Are you able to do that? Is there a record of it, recording of it, video of it, witnesses?
Witnesses that are willing to sign affidavits.
And you know they're willing to sign them?
Yes.
And they're willing to say, here's what this person told me?
Yes.
Okay, that's the first big hurdle that you're over, because without that, you're nowhere. And then I'll let Scott take over. But second, proving damages, sometimes it can be very, very tough. You really better have, in addition to what you just said, the affidavits from people who heard you got to have some sort of hard evidence that this has hurt you or damaged you. Did it keep you from getting a job? Are people throwing rocks at your house? Blah, blah, blah. Here's a real attorney, Scott.
That's a good start. Defamation. Libel is written. Slander is spoken. They're all part of the defamation family, like the two, you know, brothers of defamation. Defamation is an untrue statement that's hurts your reputation in the community that is broadcast or published beyond face-to-face. So if somebody calls you up on the phone and says, you know what, John, you're a rotten, no-good, lying, thieving SOB, and they hang up the phone on you, and you know who it is, that's not defamation because they said it to you. But if it's broadcast or it's published to other people, and then those people that read it or hear it believe that, and they change your opinion of you, then you have something that you can go after them for defamation. Now, in Missouri, they sort of use the old, is it a Missouri thing? John?
I'm sorry?
Is this a Missouri-based Okay. Missouri still goes by the old, you know, slander per se and all that. If somebody says you're a thieving, lying, rotten, untrustworthy person, the damages are inferred. If they say you steal stuff, if they say you lie, that hurts
you. You stole $100,000 from your employer.
Or a dollar. Anything that something goes specific to your integrity, then the slander per se and the damages are presumed. If it's other things, you know, you're sleazy, you know, you're untrustworthy, you're this, you're that, that stuff you have to prove by showing, like Frank said, you lost a business opportunity, you got fired from a job, some gal won't go out with you.
Scott, can I ask, John, if you don't mind, can you give us some sort of an idea of what it was that was said? That would help.
No.
Was it about your sexuality? Was it about your whether or not you're honest or cheating or?
Don't want to comment on that.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. Okay.
But the other part of this is this, and I actually had a conversation with some clients earlier this week about this, and that is opinion. Now, not my partner here, Mr. O. Period. Opinion, but when somebody says their opinion of you, that is protected by the First Amendment. If they say, I think you are the worst, whatever it is that you do for a living, I think that you are a rotten human being, I think that you are garbage, that is actually protected speech. And even though it's nasty and is defamatory, it's not actionable by defamation. So what you have is this, a difficult thing to be able to prove, except you have witnesses to it, and you have to show not only was it defamatory, not only was it said to third parties, but those people changed their opinion of you, your reputation, after they heard this nasty thing. If everybody who heard it said, that guy's a crackpot, I can't believe he said that to you, I don't care what he says, you're not going to be able to get anywhere with what is ostensibly a defamatory statement that's not civil tort defamation. So
it didn't hurt him. He can't prove damage.
That's right.
Is there a minimum number of people it would need to be spread to?
No, one other besides you and the speaker. If one other person, then that is published or broadcast beyond a face-to-face communication. It only takes one. Here's your practical problem. Very few lawyers, if any, will take a defamation case on a contingency fee. They want money for it. So if you're looking for $50, you're going to have to spend $10,000. But if you're looking for $1 million, you might have somebody's attention. So you usually see celebrities or someone going after a celebrity or a newspaper or a television station in a defamation case. There are very few defamation cases in the Midwest here amongst civilians. But they exist, and under the way you explained or sort of alluded to your situation, I think you've got something to talk to a lawyer about.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. And I didn't know I didn't want to get any more specific, let me just ask you this. If somebody told someone, and obviously it's someone he knows, they said something not so flattering about him. Let's say he's a liar or he's a thief, all right, and they told four people. If it didn't go past those four people, and those four people are willing to testify, obviously, those four people don't believe it. It didn't go beyond their ears. There's no damage there, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's a good defense. But if one of them thinks, well, you know, after I heard that, I didn't feel the same way about John that I did before.
Okay,
that
but how about this?
Yeah.
Forget that. Let's say he knows of three people that this person said that he was a liar or that he's stealing from his company he worked for. To me, the issue is, who else did they tell? Who
right.
else did they tell that I don't know about? That, to me, is what you go after.
I think so. And with Facebook and with the social media.
Exactly.
And you can't this is one of the worst things that I coined the phrase is, the genie's out of the bottle. I'm sorry for having done that, Frank. It's a hackneyed thing, but I made that up.
No, I like it. I like it. Yeah, that's good.
Once
it caught
on,
I've heard other people use it.
My dad said horse out of the barn, but I thought that was a little too country, so I said the genie's out of the bottle. But once that happens, you cannot put that back. And there have been people who have been falsely, wrongly prosecuted by the government or you know, whether unintentionally or sort of negligently. Think of Stephen Hatfill, who was the scientist who got accused of being, after 9/11, of being the anthrax mailer, and it wasn't him at all. Or the guy Richard Jewell from the bombing in 96 in
Atlanta. That's the biggest one. That's the biggest one.
Where do you get your reputation back after something untrue and horrible has been said about you? There is no office of reputation retrieval. And so this is what defamation is about. Because in the end, you know, you may have some toys, but you really only have your reputation when you're walking around this world. It's all you got.
All right, let's get Mike in here, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll continue to pick up callers after that. Mike, say hello to Scott Sherman. Mike? All right, Mike, we're going to give you 3 seconds. Three, that's it. We go to Bob. Bob, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Nice, Scott.
Hello, Bob.
PM.
Thank you, Bob.
Hallelujah. I have a quick one here. I was rear-ended, and then the person that hit me said they were hit by another person that drove me into the person in front of me. And so then my insurance, I had to pay the deductible, according to my insurance, because there was a third party. There was no vehicle. There wasn't any debris on the ground or anything. But the police officer at the scene agreed with the driver that hit me. And my insurance company said they're going to go after the person to see if they can find out who the third party was. It's been about 3 years, so am I out my deductible, or can I do anything?
Bob, is this a Missouri or an Illinois crash?
Missouri.
You're in luck. We have the longest, and for the insurance companies, the worst statute of limitations in the country, 5 years. You're not out of this at all. You have the right not to wait for your insurance company to do subrogation, which is what the legal term is when two insurance companies or two entities sort of go back and forth with what money over a dispute. How much was your deductible?
$500.
Were you hurt?
No, not really.
Okay. Did you seek medical attention? I mean, you say not really, so, you know, it's like, I hate to tell you, sometimes no, not really is yes, kind of. But I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Did you get any medical attention?
Went to a chiropractor.
That's medical attention. So you have an injury case against the driver that hit you. Here's the rule. The rear-end collision doctrine sounds filthy, but it's not. If you are struck from behind by a trailing vehicle and you were stopped or stopping, then the presumption is it's their fault. Once you get somebody, if you sued this driver behind you, they're under oath now. And now they might want to lie to an insurance adjuster or make up some story, but they're under oath. And if they screw this up, you could just basically say, okay, we're going to refer this for perjury, and we'll see if there was really a phantom car that nobody saw that disappeared without leaving a trace. You didn't see a car behind them, did you?
No.
The driver in front of you that you were pushed into never saw a car in front of him or her, did they?
No.
So the only person that claims there was any kind of car is this fool who hit you. Now, it's possible that Snuffleupagus was driving an invisible car and then disappeared. Remember from Sesame Street, this invisible.
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask back up for a minute? In the very beginning, Bob, you said somebody hit you from behind, and that person claims they were hit from behind?
Right.
Well, first of all, if anybody hit anybody hard enough to knock them into you and hard enough to knock you into somebody else, there'd be significant damage to that car. But there was.
Yeah, there was, there was a dent on the bumper about the size of a 50-cent piece.
That could have been there before.
Yeah.
That's not the dent you'd get from knocking somebody hard enough to slam them into somebody else. Scott, am I crazy here?
No. Frank's right. I mean, the laws of physics apply to liars and to people that tell the truth. So
he's lying.
He is. If he's not lying, man, he's got a story that nobody is going to believe anyway. So before 5 years goes by, I wouldn't sit on your insurance company's $500. Consult with a lawyer. You've got some injuries. What county did this happen in?
St. Charles.
Okay, the worst county for something like that to happen. But still, you'll find a lawyer. I talked to you about this thing. We file a suit, even in associate court, against the person that hit you, make their insurance company, don't want you to tell the name. hire lawyers and pay them to defend it, you're probably going to get a conversation from one of those lawyers with the lawyer you would hire. How can we get rid of this thing? But if they're going to dig their heels in, all you know is you got hit from behind. Did you hear tires squealing before you get hit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you hear two sets of tires squealing before you got hit?
No.
Never saw anybody drive past you guys?
No.
Was it a two-lane road or a four-lane road where you would have seen somebody drive past you if they had just hit somebody?
Well, it was a four-lane road. It was on an overpass.
Yeah, you never saw anybody drive past you, right?
No.
The other driver never got out of the car and said, "Hey, I just got hit from behind. That guy took off," right? Never said that?
I mean,
normal, if there's something weird like that happened, somebody would have got out of the car and said, "I can't believe it. I just got hit from behind," and there they go. It's nothing like that.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, if you want to send me an email, I'll talk to you about the case. If you got your own lawyer, go talk to him or her. File suit. Screw it. Why not?
Okay. Bob, to lose. Bob, do you have Scott's email address?
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Oh, it's catching on.
Not only that, he's a great witness. If you can remember that, he certainly would remember a car driving off.
All right. Bob, good luck. Good luck. Thank you for listening. All right. Our lines are open. I'm going to do one bit of business. That's going to give you about a minute to call. You don't call, we wrap it up, but you can get in here now. 314, Scott Sherman, he's here. He's free, at least for you right now. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. We'll take a quick little break here. We come back. Whoever's up on the screen, you're going to get in here to talk to Scott Sherman. Matheny Heating and Cooling has made it possible for me now to not worry at all about heating and cooling for at least 10 years because that's the length of the warranty on the new system they put in at my house, an American Standard system. Now, they're not married to American Standard, meaning that's not all they work on. They'll work on anything. I mean anything. I mean any brand. If it's steam heat, hot water heat, gas heat, electric heat, or cooling/cooling, they work on it. Their people are trained regularly to be up to speed on the latest and the greatest, as well as the oldest and the on its last leg stuff. Matheny Heating and Cooling, 76 years. Family business, third generation. Here's the bad news. And it's only bad news for people who live outside of these two counties. You need to be, your business or home needs to be in St. Louis County or St. Charles County. That's a big chunk of who's listening to us right now. But I'm sorry to the people in Illinois. I'm sorry to the people in the counties around Missouri and Illinois that aren't. Well, certainly in Missouri that aren't St. Charles or St. Louis County. Don't know what to tell you. Come on over and move over here. But for those of you who are or whose businesses are in St. Louis County or St. Charles County, just do this for me and for you. The next time you need to call a heating and cooling company, I don't care who you used before, unless it's somebody in the family, it's your brother-in-law's business or something. Except for that, just call Matheny. Call them out. And here's what will happen. You'll throw away, I almost said you'll go to the refrigerator and throw away all the business cards that are magnetically attached to the door. Except refrigerators anymore, you can't put refrigerator magnets on them. Cause they're that, you know, like the stainless steel stuff. And the magnet, boy, that had to kill the refrigerator magnet business when those refrigerators came out. But go wherever you keep all the cards or notations about other heating and cooling companies and delete them, get rid of them, throw them away cause you're not gonna want them anymore. If you have Matheny out one time, I think this is going to be the company you're going to call from now on, whether it's just for, you know, maintenance, basic checkup, make sure everything's okay, all the way to a full-blown emergency. My goodness, can you get somebody out here? We're burning up. We're so hot. That and everything in between, I think I know who you'll call. Because if you call them once, you'll have them back. Matheny Heating and Cooling. MatheneyHeatingandCooling.com.
Let's head out to the roads and get a look at traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Account Temps. Accident northbound 170 before Airport Road in the left lane. Bumper to bumper southbound 170, Olive 264. You've got an incident blocking eastbound 270 east of Washington Elizabeth. Heavy westbound 64 in Pockets, Compton all the way out to 270. Westbound 44 delays 55 to Shrewsbury and an accident on Virginia at 55. Finding highly skilled accounting and finance professionals can be a challenge. Account Temps can help with Account Temps' extensive network of accounting and finance contractors. You can be sure to find the right person for your exact hiring needs. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Blue Chip wonders, do you know the most common animal on Earth? It's not humans. Not by a long shot. There are some 10 quintillion insects alive. Over 200 million bugs per person. You need a professional. You need Blue Chip. Go to stlbugs.com to learn more. Blue Chip wonders, do you know the most common animal on Earth? It's not humans. Not by a long shot. There are some 10 quintillion insects alive. Over 200 million bugs per person. You need a professional. You need Blue Chip. Go to stlbugs.com to learn more.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Is Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
No.
No. Ew.
No. Oh, God, no. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now featuring the Hamptons.
It's Denise from the Appliance Discounters, and my brother Tony and I want to make it easy for you to shop local. At Appliance Discounters, you'll see a huge selection of appliances on display in kitchen suites. You'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable sales associate. Your appliance selection and service will always be at the very lowest price, and if you have any questions or need service after the sale, you can even speak directly to the owners. So be proud of your purchase and shop local with the Appliance Discounters at any of the 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
PT's Country Rock Cabaret, where the benefits are pretty obvious. It's where beer and sporting events go hand in hand with beautiful women. If you get off work during that crossing of the bridge traffic mess, then come into PT's and relax, de-stress, and eat dinner, because a fantastic steak and fries meal is only $7.99. Let those other guys sit in traffic while you enjoy exotic dancers, sports on big screen TVs, and an ice cold beverage. Visit the best strip club in the St. Louis area, and don't forget, you can catch every pay-per-view UFC fight with the confidence you'll be a winner, one way or the other. PT's Country Rock Cabaret is located just minutes from downtown St. Louis. So if that convention or expo is bringing you down, it's time to rise and smile at PT's Country Rock Cabaret in Sauget next to Pop's Concert Venue. Free admission before 6 p.m., only $6 before 8 p.m., and never more than $12 after 8 p.m. Don't sit at home watching the game. Be in the game at PT's Country Rock Cabaret.
All right, GW, you're on 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, troops, how you doing? AM and PM, this is GW.
Good. What do you have for Scott?
Scott, you might remember me. I'm the subrogation guy from the condo fire.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that all panned out great.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the other thing that we talked about last month. And that was the ongoing 2.5, almost 3 year, situation with the Social Security disability.
Yes, sir.
Well, you remember that story.
I do.
And so does Frank. So anyway, and the guys, anyway. I got my letter. Anyway, last Tuesday I got the letter from, the judicial, Department of Social Security Disability, and I got full coverage coming. Don't know when that's going to be, but
GW, I think that's great news. I don't mean to be rude. If you don't have another question, yeah, I'd love to get one.
Complimentary, and thank you very much, AM and the PM crowd and people and Frank's show. And Scott, someday I'm going to take you to lunch or something, and we'll talk about these nice things. And I thank you so much for the program and the assistance I've had in the past year.
GW, thank you for the follow-up and the feedback. We appreciate it. Let's get Dan in here. I think we can work one more in. Dan, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. I've been the PM guys, sorry.
Thank you.
I had emailed you, and you emailed me back. Thanks for that. So the thing was, the lady I worked with, it was her daughter that got caught with a fake ID.
Mm-hmm.
They're hemming and hawing about getting an attorney because they're not.
I don't know which one is getting it. If it's hemming or hawing, but they gotta get. They gotta pick one. The one that gets an attorney. She's got a root canal. This is not to be done by herself. This is not the time to save money. It's not the time to go and flirt with the judge. This is especially for a young woman. I believe she's looking at college or college age. Don't screw with this. Period. Just don't do it.
Dan, if this is your boss, it's her daughter had a fake ID. Why are you taking this on?
Well, it's not the boss. Because I was just talking to her, and she told me what was going on, and I said, well, depending on the cost, I may go ahead and pay for her to get an attorney and get it fixed. But she was asking, and I don't know. Like what type of, is it like a misdemeanor? Is it a felony?
It's not a felony. It's either a misdemeanor or a municipal ordinance violation, but it's on the computer and it's going to be part of what they are calling now her permanent record. I'm not saying this because I'm going to get the business. I don't care enough about, it's not enough money to put a heavy sales pitch. But if she doesn't do this or her mother doesn't do this, they are foolish. And you can tell them I said that, and I'll tell them to their face. This is not something you do on your own. And that's not, you better use me or one of my friends. Don't do this alone. Not only that, the judge might not even let you do it. But don't screw with this kind of stuff. It's very important.
Okay, so something like this, you would just guesstimate ballpark, like 500, 1,000 or less? Or
man, as dumb as they are? No, I'm sorry, $1,000.
Okay.
Somebody can beat that price, they can have the job.
All right. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
All right, GW. Good luck. You have to admire the people, and we've had this happen numerous times, who call in for somebody else. It's not their kid. It's not their brother. A good friend of mine has a son, and he got a job. I guess hats off to those people, but why aren't the people directly involved taking action of some? That's what I always wonder. How come they're not worried about it?
The clarity of not having emotional attachment, maybe.
I guess. Well, I say we really don't have to. There's no way. Yeah, there's no way we can help anybody in a minute and a half.
True or false? We could do that.
Yeah. I'm going to take a quick run at this. Mary, let's get Mary in here. Mary, I apologize for having no time. I got about a minute and a half. You want to throw something quickly at Scott? Go ahead.
Very quickly. I lived in an apartment for 10 years now. A new friend of mine moved into the same apartment complex. Now, the landlord's telling her she cannot smoke in her apartment. Does that mean I can't smoke in my apartment?
Check the lease. They might have changed the lease. You might be grandfathered then, or they just might not be enforcing it. They might not even know you smoke, but check your lease. If it says something about smoking, you can't do it. If hers says...
How long have you lived there, Mary?
10 years.
Yeah, they may very well have started that after you got there. He's right. You're grandfathered in. She's not.
Well, the problem is, because of my children, I have to get a new lease every year. Otherwise, my kids can't get to school, can't be enrolled in school. So you think that she could have changed the lease from the very first year of 2009 to today's date of 2018?
Sure. They do, and they have, this. They change these, they change the model ones that they use them on computers, they get new lawyers, or they might not even know you're smoking inside, and then they find out you are and make you stop, too.
That's a good excuse for your friend to stop smoking.
And you, too, Mary. We want you around.
Yeah.
Don't smoke.
I don't smoke inside. Don't get me wrong. I don't smoke inside. I got children, so I am trying to quit. I'm down to five.
Well, teach your friend how to go outside. We're out of time. Teach her how to go outside and smoke,
thank
too.
You, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Mary. I'm glad I got her in here. We were able to help her a little bit.
Saving lives.
We're out of time. Scott will do this next time. I did not mention, but I will mention now, Peroni's Pizza. Peroni's Pizza is Scott's sponsor every Friday. This is a terrific place. In fact, two locations. St. Peter's.